Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
And, you know, when we start thinking of spirits and how they operate, how they work, you know, people draw back. They think, oh, demon spirits. You know, oh, yeah, you know, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I don't have to worry about no demon spirits. Well, let me tell you, if you are a Christian, you're the one that needs to be worried about demon spirits probably more so. Because if you ain't a Christian, that demon's got you anyway. And you're his, and you're destined for hell. So he could care less about you. But when you get born again, you know, and you receive the infilling of God's Spirit, Satan don't like you. You're the enemy of God. And he's going to do anything and everything in his power to destroy you. So you better be concerned about him. And you say, well, I got a revelation, Brother Rob, that I have all power and authority, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And I say, praise God for your revelation. Now bring it to manifestation. I got a revelation about golfing. I'm not into sports. I don't golf. But I got a revelation about golfing. Two things you got to know to be an expert golfer: to how to judge your distance and your direction. That's it. Hey, simple. Man, I got it down. I got it in my back pocket. I got the revelation of what it takes. You might read the script, say, oh yeah, praise God. You know, I'm a son of God, man. I got Jesus in my heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Greater is he that's in me. And then you're whooped and molested and beat up. Got a devil on you. You know, walking through this world with your head hanging down. And I'm thinking, boy, don't look like son of God to me. You know, sons of God have problems. Jesus was acquainted with sorrows and grief, many afflictions to the righteous, but he does deliver us from them all. But brethren, I'm talking about walking in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why a lot of people start out in Christianity or make an attempt or come amongst it and around it, and they just don't seem to be able to get in? Because they try to do it in their own merit, in their own mind, their own power, without receiving the Holy Ghost and receiving the Spirit of God. The way we receive the Holy Ghost, you know, the Pentecostals many times are teaching us that we receive the Holy Ghost because we're going to live this perfect life where we could be partakers. That's one of the biggest lies of hell there ever was. You cannot do anything in your merits to receive the Holy Ghost. You can't clean up your life. The only way you'll clean up your life is by getting the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it's will worship and you're going to make an effort. You're going to make an attempt, you know, but you'll fail. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, then you can walk in the counsel, the power, the anointing of the Lord. And yes, even though you've been filled, there's different measures. We're pressing for a greater measure of that perfect man Christ Jesus. We're pushing our way in. The gates of hell shall not travail against us. We're continually growing in the grace and knowledge of God. You know, we think of the unseen things of the invisible world revealed by the things which do appear. You know, when you became fifth grade, you know, Mama one day said, hey, son, you know, we're putting the graham crackers and milk away. You're going to school. They put them out the door. They go to school, you know, and they start this education. 12 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, after these 12 years, they're ready for the job field or ready to be a man now or whatever, or an entrepreneur, however you want to express it. But, you know, we as Christians, I went to church last week, you know, and I felt the goosebump of, man, I'm ready for the sacred desk. I'm ready for the ministry. You know, I'm ready to go. But, you know, we got to learn. We got to apply and learn and press. All right, well, I'm not really interested in it. You'll wish you were interested when you find yourself in eternal damnation. You think, boy, I wished I was more interested. I think about the years that I had with Brother Pike. Wasn't many, 5 years. And, you know, the thing is, I thought, boy, if I knew he was going to do that and send me out there, I would have tried to spend more time with him. And I did make an effort to spend a lot of time with him. I tried. I truly did. But you know what? If I would have known, maybe I would have spent more time. Maybe I would have asked more questions. Maybe I would have been more diligent. Maybe I would have been more ready to hear. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we could judge me and say, yeah, you ignorant thing. You know, but what about you? What about where you're at? What have you done? What have you accomplished? What have you accomplished? There's not many things that we do in this world that are going to matter to the kingdom of God. We do so many things to get so caught up in this world doing the things that mean something to us now. Something that's tangible, something we could touch, something we could hold, something we could see, something we can eat, something we could love. Whatever. These are all temporal things. Everything that this world's got to offer you is temporal. It's here for a moment, it's gone. You know, this is a temporal world. It's here for just a minute. I know when you're young and you're a young man or a young woman, you think, oh, you know, we got lots of time and this and that. You don't know that. We don't know the catastrophic end to what we call this world now. And you say, well, it might go another 1,000 years. It might go another 100 years. Well, you might be right, but how long are you going to go in it? If it goes another 100, how much longer is it going to go for you? You know, see, this is what you don't know. You could sit there and look at me, well, you're a lot older than me and I'll be here longer. You don't know that. You have no idea of that. Like I said, I've ministered funerals of little tiny boxes, I had one here, I said, not too long ago, and they had to get an extra large coffin. He was too big to fit in a regular one. So I've seen them in the little tiny ones, and I've seen them in extra large boxes. And the thing is that man doesn't know his day, doesn't know his hour. But God does. So what do? We serve the Lord today, and we need to serve Him today like we don't know what tomorrow's got to offer. We have no promise of tomorrow. Don't matter what age you are, you have no promise. Speaking of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I want to talk about a few things about that. I will use a great man of God, a great brother, great apostle, Brother Peter. I don't think anybody here can contest the fact how he loved the Lord. But I think he found a special friendship, so to speak, and relativity with the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. I think he found a fellowship with him because the Lord saw the sincerity, the love that he had, and the eagerness and the willingness that he had, and the sincerity most definitely. And we find in many cases that possibly when others seemed to draw back, that Peter came forward. But then yet, he denied him. We think of those things. All the others thought, when it was talking about giving the sup, they questioned themselves at different times. Oh, is it me, Lord? But this Peter, when they were taking the Lord Jesus bound, so to speak, or handcuffed or tied up, whatever they had him, they were taking him before the council, and Jesus came up, and they said he was near the fire there trying to see what's going on, and somebody said, hey, he's one of them Christians. He's one of them right there. And he said, oh, not me. You're mistaken. We're talking about being religious, and we're talking about being filled with the power of God. You know, the Bible says, if you deny me, I'll deny you to my Father. Now here he was being denied. The Lord Jesus told him that he would deny him before morning, before the cock crowed. And he surely did. Now the thing is that we're talking to St. Peter, we're going to read here over in the book of Acts, of after he was endued with power. The difference, the same man, not too many days apart, be less than a month most likely. And then we see a different man that stood before the same adversaries, the same enemy, the same ones who took the Lord Jesus. But there was a difference. Why are you speaking about this? Why are you speaking like this? Brethren, there's many times that we try to do things within our own ability, within our own mind, within our own thoughts, and we fail. Let me tell you something about a man full of the Holy Ghost. He'll find this out, that many times the Lord will take him in a direction that is absolutely, we could say, 180 or the opposite direction of what the carnal mind would start off to do the same task. If I said, brethren, you know, it's the will of the Lord first of all to head to California. Well, everybody's going to know one thing for sure, that we're going to be going west. Is that right? And surely the Spirit of the Lord wouldn't send you east. Or what would he do? Because he's going to confound the wise and the prudent. And many times he'll do things of such that would confound you. He'd say, well, that doesn't make sense. But when you lean to your intellect, then you get off course. But if you follow him, then he'll unveil you and show you why it would appear that you was going the wrong way. Now, I'm going to say this before I read the scriptures. Can anybody say that it wasn't the Spirit of God that led Moses when he came out of Egypt? We know that the Bible says he was led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. We all know this, right? Okay, well, we know that there's one God, and this one God, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Okay, so we find the Father being Spirit, and we find him being led by fire and led by clouds. So we know it was God leading them, right? Now, the thing is I've made this statement before, that Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's household. Now, y'all know this. Okay, now, he was raised up in all of the ways of the Egyptians, in royalty, raised up in a king's home, in a leader of all the country's home. He knew the ways. And we know that the leader was very militant. This is how they kept the Hebrew or the Israeli people, children in bondage, in slavery, because they were militant. They had whips, they had weapons, they had things, and they kept these children in bondage. So the thing is we know that Moses is being raised up this way. Now the thing is if he was going to lean to his understanding, thinking he's going to take these people that weren't armed with weapons like the adversary was, he surely, the last place he would have done, any military man knows you would never lead your people or your army down into a low area. If you go to Israel and you find out all the places where they build cities, and it's up on a hill. You go to Jericho, you go to any of these places, you find that they put these cities up on a hill because they gave them an advantage over the adversary when they would pursue. All the strongholds, all the things. You go to Masada, it was up on a hill. Everywhere is up on a hill. So now Moses, being a militant man, the last thing he's going to do is lead his people down up against the Red Sea to be hemlocked there to be slaughtered. I'm talking like a military man. But then yet the Spirit of God said, follow this fire. Amen. Follow this cloud by day and this fire by night. And it led him down to where you know for a fact, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, travailing with great drops of blood, travailing, because he knew what he had to do. Don't you know that Moses had to be in the same kind of travail, thinking, you know, here we are being led right down here. But now, I'm saying these things for a pattern for you to understand. The Lord is going to lead you, and sometimes it's going to lead you, again, as I said, opposite the way that you would go. You think, well, this isn't beneficial. This isn't good. This surely can't be the mind of God, because this looks like I could get crucified down here. But that's the Lord. And how is he going to show himself unless possibly be in harm's way? Now, I've made this comment to you from the sacred text numerous times. And if you go over to the book of Hebrews and you read over the 11th chapter about faith. Oh, they had faith because the refrigerator was full. The lights were burning. They had faith because the lion had no teeth. They had faith because, you know, the enemy had no chariots. They had no weapons. And they were all blind. That's not why they had faith. They had faith because the lion had real teeth. And it was not eaten, and it was ready to eat and devour. You understand that? They had faith, brothers and sisters, because the adversary was pursuing them and God made a way. You see, so when we go find out faith, and we find the manifestation of faith is because there is an enemy, an opposing force, and an adversary. Now the thing is, let's talk about the easy way for a moment. The easy way is to deny God. The easy way is to stay in the world. The easy way is to walk with the world. You see, when you get amongst the world, it's all going in the same direction. They see eye to eye. We talk about we seeing eye to eye, not piercing each other through, nor breaking. Hey, the world's that way. Man, they like to walk together. They're training. They're sending the same kind of schools, the same kind of curriculum, same kind of education. And they're all seeing eye to eye, and they're walking. And they look at you and I as peculiar. We're the peculiar people because we do not walk with them. We're going in the opposite direction. I don't want to walk with them and fellowship with them. Now the thing is, they say the same thing. I don't want to walk with you, preacher. Why? Because this is a straight and narrow way. This is a way of suffering. This is a way of tribulation. This is a way of persecution. I know your Christianity is, oh, I got saved and boy, everything was so fine. My house was dark and now my lights came on. I got said, yes, I believe in prosperity. I believe in the blessings of God. But let me tell you something. The enemy steps in and starts fighting you. When you start getting an understanding and an education or a revelation, you know what happens? The enemy's going to come to you. He's going to come and start opposing you because you weren't a threat to him before. When you had no knowledge of his word, when you weren't walking in the ways that please God, and you weren't walking towards the kingdom, you weren't a threat. When you're walking with the wide, broad path of destruction, you're not a threat to him. He says, hey, go on. Just walk your way right into hell. He'll leave you be. But when you decide that you're going to take order and control of your life, and you're going to start pulling your children out of the fire, and you're going to start serving the Lord, then the enemy's going to start coming against you. So do you want the easy way? Go to hell. That's it. That's the easy way. Just to go on into hell. Walk in the path of hell. Walk in the path of this world. Walk in the ways of this world. Man, it's easy. There's no complications. Everybody's going to like you. You're going to be popular. You're going to fit in with everybody. You know, that's the easy route. But if you want to walk with Christ, you're peculiar. You're hated. It said they hated me first. They're going to hate you also. Well, how are you going to get people to come to this Christianity, Brother Rob? Well, you know what? I'm not trying to get people to come to this Christianity. And you say, oh my, what do you mean you're not, Brother Rob? The Bible says no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. So I look for the ones the Spirit's drawn. He's going to draw them in, and then we're going to help them. And we're going to prepare them. We're going to say, hey, buddy, you want to serve God? Get ready to fight. You've just been drafted. Now, if I was a sergeant or a general in the military, brothers, you know, and you got drafted, you know, I'm going to go, oh, look, we got us a pretty boy. Come over here. We're going to let you take it easy today. No, you're going to be booting him in the hind end, and he's going to be out there running through the mud, running through the rain. He's going to be out there in every adverse condition. And when he just thought he was getting some good sound sleep, you're going to kick him out of his bunk, out of his bed, and say, soldier, get out here. You're going to run. Well, it's only 4 o'clock in the morning. I ain't had my breakfast. He's going to say, shut your mouth, and he's going to boot you around the track. You see, that's what happens to soldiers. So I wonder why the military of God is, you know, Joel Osteen, is he the general? Oh, God loves you so much. Come on over for some R&R. Let's just take it easy. He's going to bless you, and he loves you so much. I don't like sissy Christianity. I don't. Because I know it's not that way. I know what it is to serve God, and I know that this isn't my R&R place. I know we have rest in the Spirit of God. But this is it, not in this world. There is no rest in this world except in the Spirit. The enemy's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy. If you're just at ease and at peace and everything, like, no, we have peace. Don't misunderstand. But if you're just kicking back and everything's fine, you're lost. Because you should be concerned, because the adversary is like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. He's trying to steal your children. He's trying to steal your grandchildren. He's trying to steal your wife. He's trying to steal everything away from you. You know, and if you say, you just make everything too complicated. Man, you need to come where I'm at, Brother Rob. Just take it easy and have a good time. I tried that, and I watched souls get plucked out, and people get plucked out. So what are you saying? Is this Christianity? It's a travail. It's a fight. It's a warfare. Again, we see Peter was very dedicated. He loved the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He fellowshiped with the Lord. He forsook all he did, forsook everything he knew, forsook his livelihood as a fisherman to follow this Lord. But then yet, when the adversary or the enemy come, then he would turn and deny. He would turn and curse. Curse God and curse against God. For they would think, well, surely he's not one of them. But then yet, there was a different man after he got filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, many people have trouble serving God, and it's for one reason and one reason only, is they haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. They've just been around religion. They've just been religious. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get filled with the power. And this power, brothers and sisters, is, again, as we ministered a message about the diminishing of things. And we've taken and we've decreased the infilling of the Holy Ghost to a tongue-talking experience in an altar. I believe in speaking in tongues, brethren. And I thank God for the gifts of God. You know, I thank God for all the 9 gifts of God, let alone just tongues. But it's so emphasized in the Pentecostal world. But why don't they emphasize an overcoming life and walking in the power of a sound mind and being an overcomer and coming out of the world and being a separate people? Amen? Why don't they emphasize in the book of Acts there when it talks about the cloven tongue of fire? What is that cloven tongue? What is its place? What is its purpose? Brothers and sisters, when he said, I'll baptize you with fire. What John the Baptist said, he'll come after me and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brethren, we need to be baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost, not with just some tongue-talking experience. We need that fire to burn the dross and the things that aren't pure and things that God isn't like within our lives. And you say, but brother, I got washed in the blood of the Lamb and I've been made pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. I preach that same doctrine, brethren, but I'm talking about bringing forth the works that's been tried as of by fire to show the manifestation of the revelation of Jesus Christ alive today, walking in the earth today, walking among men. And if you don't believe that Jesus is walking in the flesh today, then you're Antichrist. That's what my Bible teaches me. If you do not believe that Christ is in the flesh, you're Antichrist. But no, we're afraid to speak like that. Oh, no, you can't say that. Oh, you know, I had an Assembly of God minister when I told him, I said, I'm a son of God. He said, man, I can't say that. I know you can't say that because you need to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know who you are, beloved. Your sons of God. Amen. All right, let's read. I think we laid enough foundation to do a little bit of reading here now. Let's go over to Acts 2nd chapter, since that's what we're discussing. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, we sometimes miss out on these little factual truths, and we wonder why we're not walking with the power of God today, or we question if we've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, brethren, you know, if we want to be full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to realize the things that took place in the very beginning of this early church. And it said that they were with one accord in one place. Amen. But we find ourselves scattered abroad. We're busted all to pieces, scattered around, and different things, and we're surely not in one mind. How can we get the Holy Ghost in that kind of a state of mind? It'll never happen. It'll never happen. We need to bring it into a present-day truth, a present-day. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them a cloven tongue as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if we'd go study out about these other tongues, it wasn't an unknown language. It was an unknown tongue, but it wasn't an unknown language. Because if I go right on down here and read, you're going to find that there was many. It names the group of the people, Macedonia, Judea, Cappadocia, and it goes on to name these places. And it said they heard them speaking in their native tongue. You understand? These men don't know my language. You know, if I was down in Mexico and this rushing mighty wind went through this church, I got an interpreter standing beside me and he's interpreting the Spanish to me, and I know that these are all Spanish speaking. There might be a scattered few out here that know English, and all of a sudden this rushing mighty wind and these people jump to their feet and start speaking perfect English, praising the Lord God. Oh, you are my Lord, my God, my Savior, my salvation. Hallelujah. You know that the Holy Ghost has come. Amen. Amen. So again, we've diminished things down. Yes, I believe in unknown tongues. I believe in speaking in a language, brothers. The Bible says it's utterances. It isn't bring any fruit up here to your mind, because it's intangible, so to speak, to your mind, but it builds up that innermost strength. I believe in praying in the Spirit and praying in utterances and groanings and things of such, brethren. I pray that way. I believe that way. But brethren, we got to go beyond and really get a revelation and an understanding of what the Word and the Word of God is. Let's go down here now. I'm going to skip down a little bit to verse 14. It says, but Peter, right above it, in verse 13, it said that there were some mocking, saying these men were drunk on new wine. Thus, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. Now this was a guy not too many days previous to this, wasn't lifting up his voice. He was running, looking for a place to hide. And when they grabbed him, but he cursed. And they said, well, this ain't one of his followers, because they don't talk this way. Sometimes people, you go out on their job site, say, I'm a Christian, praise God, hallelujah. Man, I'm a Christian, I go over there to such and such church. And then they hear you over there and you hit your thumb or something goes wrong and you're cursing. Ah, he ain't one of them. It's no different, brethren. Amen. All right, let's go on here just a minute. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Pretty bold right there, wasn't it? That one passage has shown some boldness. Number one, he raised up his voice. It wasn't, you know, a man that ain't bold in the Holy Ghost. He'd be going, well, Jesus. You know, Jesus, the guy that y'all took and crucified last week. No, he didn't do that. He raised up his voice. This man was filled with power, brethren. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't sissified. He wasn't a coward. He wasn't concerned about them taking his life. He was going to raise up his voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this is what which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon just the righteous, self-righteous people, and the ones that are walking in the power of God, the ones that are overcomers, the ones that wear their dresses just right, the right length, and comb their hair perfectly. Brother, you can't add to the word. I'm not. I'm just helping you to understand it a little bit. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God saith, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Let me ask you a question. Does all flesh have to do with corrupt flesh? Does all flesh have to do with perverted flesh and all that stuff? Come on now. All flesh is corrupt in its way before God. So I'm just trying to make sure you get understand. It wasn't because they, you know, went through the ritualistics of cleansing or thus and thus and thus. It wasn't that way. It wasn't after they got baptized in water. I could take you over into Acts, I believe it's in 10. I'm not sure, but at Cornelius' house, they hadn't even been baptized. They said, would any forbid these water after we see now that they got filled with the Holy Ghost? These were Gentiles. They were unclean. They can't have anything to do with God. We can't even eat with them. We can't fellowship with them. But then yet the Holy Ghost poured us. And now that we see that the Holy Ghost was given unto them, would any forbid these water? See, we got these ideas of what we think makes a candidate for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost, when a man gets filled with that Holy Ghost and he receives the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that's when the man has started walking in the power and the authority of God. Holy Ghost filled people, brothers and sisters, stumble, they make mistakes, but they get back up. Amen. You understand that? You know, you think, well, I don't think that guy's full of the Holy Ghost because this and that. Well, let me tell you something. If a man's walking in willful sin and continues on, now, a Holy Ghost-filled man that makes a mistake, the chastening of the Lord's going to come, or otherwise he's a bastard child, according to the Word. A bastard means that they have no father. That's what it means. Now, the thing is, you know, they had a father, they wouldn't be in the world. Wasn't talking about natural father. You know, that when there's children born in this world, they don't know who their natural father is. And there's many of that going on today. That would be considered a bastard child. I know it's not a terminology we like to use, but biblically speaking, when you don't know your heavenly father and you're not being born of God and you don't know who your father is, and that's what you are. And bastard children are not chastened, but God's children are chastened. Let's go on here just a little bit. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, right there proves to me that women could be ministers. I tell you, a lot of women go right there. That's not right. I'm sorry. Women could minister the word of God in a way that we minister out here in the fellowship, in our homes, and different things. I'm talking about fivefold ministry. Don't ever take the right of a woman to talk to people about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Women could talk about the Lord and bring a man under conviction of the Holy Ghost through a chaste conversation and a man get born again. Amen. We're not going to take the anointing and the power away from virtuous women. Amen. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth, and beneath blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. That was enough right there to get him killed. Do you realize that? That was enough to get him killed right there. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands. Now he's really getting there. Who's he calling wicked? Now he just spoke against the most holy group of people of that time and that day. The Sanhedrin are the ones that put it together to grid him. I know we say the Romans, you know, done this and that. They were doing it because these people were going to stir up such a uproar because they took their rights. See, before they could have taken and they could have killed him under their authority and power, but now because they was under Roman law, they could not do that. They couldn't take life, so they had to go to the Roman Empire and say, look, according to our laws, this man is violated. He's blasphemed. But even under their laws, they said, we find no fault in this man. Wash the blood from his hands, but he gave him over to the people, gave him a choice, and they chose Barabbas. I know you know the story. Verse 24. Whom God hath raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. That's awesome, ain't it? We're talking about you and I. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now we're speaking about the Lord, but we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the body of the Lord. Amen? We got to bring this thing into the presence, into the victory, into who we are in Christ, brothers and sisters. We need to know. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Why did they have to put that in there? Well, I like to walk around just a little gloomy. Oh, poor me. Now, I know what charisma is, and I know what charismatic is, and I know this, but thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. I'll tell you, brethren, this is something right there they would drag a man out and crucified him for. The things that he's saying. Now you think about it. They were trying to shut these people up. They didn't want these people saying things. Now when Jesus walked among them, he would go off and work miracles. He would take lame and raise them up. Open up blinded eyes and do these things. They didn't know how to deal with that. We're going to find the same thing as if we went on in the book of Acts. You're going to find that these followers, these men, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They were doing the same thing. They didn't know how to deal with them. Can anyone question? You know, when they would see these men that were lame from their mother's womb, so to speak, or from birth, and they saw these men and they saw him, we can't question this. They didn't know what to do with that, did they? Amen? That's what we do today. We take a man that's been walking in the flesh, walking in the world, in the corruption of carnality, in the bondages of alcohol and the things of drugs, and we bring the doctrine of Jesus Christ to him, and it purifies and sets him free, and he starts walking in the Spirit of the living God, amen. And people say, there is a God in heaven, amen. Amen. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now we know that Jesus received the Holy Ghost. Is this right? You say, well, wait a minute, he was God, Brother Rob. We're talking about the Son of Man received the Holy Ghost, that he could take this spirit power and take the man part and walk before the adversary, walk before the enemy, walk up in righteousness, walk in power, walk in authority. You understand that? Amen. He had to receive the Holy Ghost. And when he received the Holy Ghost, he was taken up on the Mount of Temptation. He went out there for 40 days, brethren, and was tried. Have you been tried? Have you received power? If you receive power, you're going to go through some trials. Amen. And you're going to find that your faith is going to be tried, brothers and sisters. And when your faith is being tried and you come through it as an overcomer, you know what happens when you come through it as an overcomer? People see the works of Christ in the earth today, and it draws them to salvation. You see, we've taken all this thing about winning souls, and we want to make it into a fancy sermon. We want to take it in and put all the responsibility on the preacher, that he's just going to say this fancy message. He's going to open up the altars. We're going to run in the altars. We're going to say this prayer and, hey, I'm saved. Give them a little certificate. Send them down the road. Maybe baptize them or whatever. Or maybe we got them in the altars and they spoke in tongues. Okay, you're one of us now. And you go on about your ways. When my years in the Pentecostal move, still am, but when my years of the early years of it, I go into churches and this brother was accepted because he was a tongue talker. This brother was accepted because he was a tongue talker. This brother was accepted, you know, and he was a tongue talker, but this one smoked. This one cursed. This one wasn't straight in his business deals. You see, what was the fruit of the Holy Ghost to them? Speaking in tongues. What was the fruit of the Holy Ghost to me? Walking as an overcomer in life. Amen. Keeping yourself unspotted from the affairs of this world. Trying to keep a good name within and without, and walking with God, amen. Now, yes, you may make a mistake. You might do something, but God will take care of you because you're not a bastard child. He chastens you. He chastens you with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about being baptized with fire. We're talking about what the fire of the Holy Ghost is, what the fire of the Holy Ghost does. Amen. Have you had this burning fire? Have you have felt this burning down in your bosom? Have you felt this cleansing and chastening of the Holy Ghost? You know, brothers, we got to be in a place with God. You know, some people think, you know, if they come to church and they're getting reproved, they come to church and they're getting chastened by the pastor, you say, it's not by the pastor, it's by the Spirit of God speaking through the pastor. But the thing is, if that's the only chastening you're getting, you need a checkup. Brothers and sisters, when you are walking out in this job site or wherever you're at, there's something that takes place that crosses your conscience, or you make an allowance, you find something happening to you right there. Nobody around. Nobody pressing you. Nobody saw it. But all of a sudden you feel this uncleanness. You think, oh my God, I failed you. Lord God. You know, I had the Spirit of God before I was born again dealing with me with things like that. I shared a story with you. I took a job as a salesman knocking on doors and they trained me to lie. You know what? I raised up in a heathen home, but my mother, there was no zero tolerance for lying in my home. I'm talking about a heathen woman. A woman that drank. A woman that cursed. But man, I'll tell you what, a child lie. Man, you was in trouble. I'm telling you, you just learned not to do it. So, you know, was it my mom's upbringing or was it the Holy Ghost dealing with me? But I went into a home and I did what they trained me, lied, and I went on down to the next one trying to sell, and it was bothering me so bad, I went back and knocked on their door again and said, man, I'm sorry. I lied to you and I did everything I could to make it right. And they said, no, it's okay. It was a little nothing deal, but they said, it's okay. And I said, well, I really feel bad. And I never done that again. Well, are you somebody special, Brother Rob? No, I'm not anybody special, but what I'm saying is, I'm saying this happened to me as a heathen. That's what I'm testifying about. I had a conscience when I was a heathen, and maybe it was in the foreknowledge of God, knew what I was going to do one day, brothers and sisters, but I had some sort of a conscience that bothered me. And then yet I find people, they say, I'm a Christian, I'm a son of God, I can't sin, I'm born of God, man, I'm walking in the revelation, and you don't even see a ripple in their spirit when they lie. It don't even shake a little bit. You know, I mean, you know, if they say, we're going to put Brother Rob on a lie detector, see if he's lying. You don't need a lie detector. You know, I go to lie and I probably change colors. I probably shake. And, you know what I'm saying? It's just something that's there. And I'm not sitting here testifying of myself. I'm testifying the Spirit of God. There should be something in you that when you go to walk in a way that is disorderly or displeasing to God, there should be something checking your spirit. Brother Pike told us, brethren, all of us, he said, the problem, brethren, is why you got into trouble, my God, because you crossed your conscience. And your conscience mind, brethren. You know, a lot of times people say, well, God spoke to me and God this and God that. Let me tell you something. The first thing, if God's going to be speaking to you, you're going to have a consciousness of Him. And you're going to be dealing with this conscience. And you're going to be walking in the ways that are pleasing unto Him. And you're going to be walking in the obedience. And then you're going to have this conscience. And it's dealing with everybody that isn't a beast has a conscience. You understand that? And you think, well, this isn't right. You know, something rises up in your spirit and tells you to do something. There's going to be a conscience saying, you know better than that. You can't do that. We need to exercise the spirit walk with Christ. We need to bring it out of the veil. We need to bring it out of the motions, ritualistics, and bring it to a reality. Amen? You know, people want to talk about holiness. They say, oh, it's just a work of the heart. You know, it's just an invisible work, or it's just a, you know, it's something that took place down in your heart. I'm not interested in it then. I ain't interested in your invisible work of holiness. I'm not interested in that. That is a lie from hell. Let me tell you what holiness is. Holiness changes your conversation. Holiness changes your dress. Holiness changes your actions, your work habits. It changes the way you walk, talk, work. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're a good employee. You're not cheating the time clock. You're not robbing. It makes you the best employee. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it makes you a good husband. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it makes you a good wife. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it makes you an obedient child. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, brother, you're walking in holiness. It's not invisible. It is seen and recognized by men. They see there's something different about you. If it's invisible and the world can't see it, then what do we need it for? If it's all invisible, what are we hanging out at this place for? Why don't we just say, okay, you know, let's start this kind of church, the 9mm church. Oh, he accepted Jesus. I heard him confess with his mouth. Bloom and blast him and say, okay, we don't have to worry about him now. He's just going on in. You know, what are we doing here? Are we here for our salvation? No, we're not here for our salvation. We're here for their salvation. You see, people say, well, you know, Brother Rob preaches works. You know, and it's all just salvation. Oh, the only reason I'm preaching works is for people could see Christ in the earth. And the only way they're going to recognize Jesus is by the works of Christ, the attributes of God. Suffering to your own hurt. Being accused and lied and cheated and still loving them and doing good to them. That is the fruits of Christ. But you know, when we want to walk with all, everything is for me. Oh, I'm selfish. If it ain't going to do me no good or if it ain't going to help me, I don't want it. That ain't going to bring nobody to Christ. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, brethren. This is what we're talking about. I'm getting it out of the ritualistic, you know, of this Pentecostal way. Oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I said Kawasaki Yamaha backwards 4 times. I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I know I'm mocking. But I'm telling you, we got a church full of people. You know, they babble in their tongues and they walk around saying they're full of the Holy Ghost. They're accepted by everybody because they heard them babble. You know, they slap them on the chin. Come on, say blah, 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 blah. You know, hey, I've been there. I've watched it. I've had it happen to me. I've had them grab me. One saying, hang on, brother. And the other one saying, let loose. Well, what do I do? You know, I've seen it. You know, and I apologize. I wouldn't mock the things of God or the Spirit of God, but I'm mocking the way that they have depreciated everything down to some ritualistic. Oh, but the sons and daughters shall prophesy. Man, I've heard so many prophecies that are nothing but the flesh. Oh, thus saith the Lord, Brother Rob. The Lord said that you're supposed to be over here as a youth pastor in Brother such and such's church. And I thought, well, if he told you that, he's surely going to tell me that too. Because he told me to get away from the reprobate whoremonger. So why are you going to prophesy to me that I'm supposed to be a youth pastor in this guy's church when the Lord done showed me that he's a stinking whoremonger? So are we going to walk into prophecy because someone prophesied that I'm supposed to be a youth pastor? So I didn't yield to it. The next meeting I'm in with the same guy. He said, you got whale vomit all over you, Brother Rob. You know, in other words, I was like Jonah, man. I was in rebellion. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. So now I got whale vomit on me. And I said, well, I'd rather have whale vomit on me as walk in what you're trying to tell me to do. You see, people are prophesying out there. Oh, thus saith the Lord. You know, they don't got no life. They don't have no power. They got no authority. They got no godliness. They got no holiness. And you don't even give them the time of day. But because of your ritualistic religious ways, you go to them and they say, thus saith the Lord. And all of a sudden, they got your attention. Oh, he said, thus saith the Lord. Tonight, we're going to have vanilla ice cream with caramel on it. Hell, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm mocking, yes. I'm sick of religion. I'm sick of the religious vomit. I'm sick of them depreciating the infilled power of God to some little thing of such. I believe in prophecy. I'm not mocking prophecy. I'm talking about when the word of prophecy comes, it could guide and direct and help a life and bring somebody under subjection to something of God. I believe in prophecy, but there's too many people, they think because they say, thus saith the Lord, that it's prophecy. No, it's not. The Bible said, let it be subject unto the prophets. There'll be something that bears witness in your spirit. There'll be something that when it goes forth, there's an anointing and a strength and a power. This is why there's people, they believe in this unity that we spoke about, but there's a false unity. There's a false together. There was a gentleman today in a post and he was speaking. He read, a Hal Lindsey book. And this Hal Lindsey supposedly exposed Brother Branham on some things. And, you know, and they were speaking in such a way. Let me tell you where the problem would be defending Brother William Branham today. Because the followers of Brother Branham, these message people, have made such a mockery of a man of God, that when you stand up and in defense of him, that you're numbering yourself with those message people. And I'm not going to number myself with people that say the Lord Jesus Christ isn't coming back for a church in the change or the transfiguration, but it's Brother William Branham. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, brethren. Now you say, well, but if you had the revelation, you would understand it a little bit differently. If you understand the prophet, who he was, and this and that. I think I have an understanding, brothers and sisters. But I'll tell you what. There was a Lord Jesus Christ that walked among men. And there's seven messengers. I understand that. And I understand the counsel of the Lord. I understand men of God. I understand to give honor to who honor is due. And I reverence this brother. And I think I honor him more than his message people. Because if the message people were full of the same Holy Ghost that he had, they would honor him with respect and not muddy up his name. Just like some of the followers of Brother Pike are putting these writings out there calling the prime sovereign Lord. You know what? He didn't even like Reverend on his books. They had to fight with him to put Reverend on his book because the other ministers were going by Reverend. And he didn't even like that. What do you think he's going to think when you put a writing out there and call him Prime Sovereign Lord? He's not going to be liking that. He would not be pleased with that. He would be disappointed with that. And you say, but you would have a problem calling that if you really knew who he was. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, I knew who he was. He was a son of God, just like I'm a son of God, just like you're a son of God. And he was walking in the same world that you and I are walking in with the same purpose and the same plan to lead people into the kingdom of God and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing here, and to bring people to an understanding of who they are in Christ. Amen? And the thing is that people will destroy that name. He's got books and books and books that could help people, but because of the foolishness of going on with these so-called followers, they'll muddy things up so bad that you'd be ashamed to hand a book because it's going to make you follow in some other crazy thing. I'm sorry, but this is the way of the enemy, brethren. We have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and we're not going to walk around like a bunch of sissified wimps. People need to raise up their voice, and they need to demand and command their homes and their houses, amen, and take their rightful place in the kingdom of the living God, and quit being moved by every wind of doctrine and every new thing that comes along. Got to have a new name. We got to have a new this. We got to have a new that. Brothers and sisters, let's get a hold of the old past. Let's get a hold of righteousness. Let's get a hold of holiness. Let's get a hold of godliness. Let's get a hold of walking upright. Amen? You know, we got these people saying, well, we're going back to the old past or the old ways, you know? Brothers and sisters, we need to. You know, we're looking for something new, something exciting, and this is a new day, a new hour. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We better get back to the things that had some strength. Amen? The government, if they could turn back to some of the men of the early forefathers and founders and think, you know what, I'm going to pattern myself after these men. It could return some virtue and some strength and some decency to a fallen nation. You understand that? And it could bring the prosperity back to this land. The reason the land prospered because it was walking in the counsel of the Lord, and it was a benevolent nation giving money away, and it made them benevolent. But now they're giving it away to a bunch of whoremongers and a bunch of adulterers and fornicators that don't want to work. They don't like to work. And they want to sit and let the government support them and pay for them and make their way. And this is bringing it down. You say, well, are you going to get into politics now? No, I'm not getting into politics. I'm just explaining to you why nations come down, and I'm explaining to you why households come down and families come down, and why families are busted up is because it's the same principles that runs all the way through. Amen. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about being baptized in the anointing and the power of God, walking in righteousness and holiness and virtuous things. Amen. And when you love the world and you're looking into the world and fellowshipping with the world, then my Bible clearly says that you are of your father, the devil. You could say anything you want. Well, I accepted Jesus. Well, I believe in God. The devil believes also. I'm sick of your believing in God. I'm sick of your lukewarm testimonies. I want to see the authority and the power and the anointing of God. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to Brother Rob, brothers and sisters. We've been endued with power. We've received the power. We need to be like Peter here. You know, there was a time he was denied, but now he's standing before the very people that killed the Lord, and he's standing up and he called them wicked people. And he said, by your hands, you know, you've taken and crucified this Lord. And we say, boy, I'm sure glad I would, but you're doing the same thing today. You could be very guilty today as just as guilty as them. You say, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And we could be guilty. Oh, I would never do that. There's so many times we deny the Lord and we take something wretched, something perverted, something ungodly. Our mind, our carnality. We choose it over the Lord. We choose it over the mind of Christ because we got a better way. We know a better way. Let me tell you, you can find an easier way. Amen. There's an easier way than serving Jesus, but it's temporal. It leads to destruction. Amen. You're either going to be laid down and let this thing roll over you. You're going to let it submit to it, or it's going to take and crush you to pieces. Amen. Willingly. Obedience. Find the obedience in God. Amen. Let me read on just a little bit. I won't keep you too much longer. Amen. Just talking with you a little bit this evening. I like the Word of God. If we just read the Bible tonight and that's all we did, that would be a wonderful thing. You know, I say things to people. I don't like religious people. Now, I got to explain myself. I know true and undefiled religion is such, taking care of the widows and the orphans, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. I love that. But I'm saying I don't like religion. I don't like religious people. I don't like preachers. I don't like ministers. I don't like evangelists. I don't like apostles. I don't like prophets. Now, I got to explain myself with all those because I love the genuine. But let me tell you something. There's more false out there than there is genuine. And when I make a statement like that, I say it purposely to get a point to you. The ministry is corrupted. The pastors of our land are corrupted. There was a man that he got grieved with me. He said, Brother Rob, why don't you call me apostle? He wanted me to call him apostle. He wanted me to say Apostle Abraham when I spoke to him. I called him brother. He said, why don't you call me apostle? I said, I think brother's fine. That was a compliment. Calling him a brother, even though he was a false brother, I think was still a compliment. Amen. He wanted that recognition of that. He wanted to be esteemed as that. I said, brother, let me tell you about the calling and the office of an apostle. You don't have to proclaim that's what you are. It'll be recognized and seen. Amen. He'd be establishing works and establishing things that will be unmovable, that will stand. You know, but they want the recognition. They want the titles. That's why I make statements why I don't like religion, why I don't like these preachers and these pastors. You know, pastors come to you today and they come around like, hey, I'm somebody special. I'm somebody called. You need to take care of me. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you taking care of me? You might hear me saying, brother, you need to be doing something as unto the Lord. I'm putting you into the work of the service of the Lord, not the service of Brother Rob. But then yet you get a spirit on you against Brother Rob and think you're in the service of the Lord. You will go to hell too. See, I got to keep things line upon line. Amen. Yeah, I shared this story. I had a man in this church not long ago. He would like to share finances and like to help us. But if he thought it was going to help me make a home payment or a car payment or something, man, he made sure it never got into my hands. He wanted to make it out to make sure it was going right to the mailbox, make sure that it was going right to maybe do some paving or to do something around it. That's what he wanted to do. I said, okay, praise God, let him do it. But I knew who he was robbing himself. God's not pleased with that. You don't choose where a tithe goes, brothers and sisters. When you choose where your tithe goes, it's not a tithe. It goes to the storehouse, and it's going to be utilized. And if you don't think the preacher's using it for what's right, then you're in the wrong church. You need to find you a church that you got confidence in what the pastor's doing. Amen? Or otherwise, you say, well, I don't think you're stirred with your money and stuff, so I don't tithe. I said, well, you're a fool to sit in this church then. That's what you are. I'm sorry to say it that way. Well, I'll just go get me another one. Well, I'll help you with the door. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm looking for people in one mind and one accord. That's what I'm looking for. All right, verse 34 here. For David is not ascended into heaven, but saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Have you done that? Therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus in whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untold generation. I like that message today. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? Have you been endued with this power that they're speaking about here and been filled with this Holy Ghost? And, you know, we got to take this line upon line. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untold generation of this Pentecostal corruption, of this Baptist foolishness, and of this Methodist heresy. You say, Brother Rob, you're just a little crude and you're a little bit rough. Well, then you help me out. You tell me which one of these denominations hasn't been corrupted. I was just talking about probably two of the greatest men of God that you've ever heard of, Brother Branham and Brother Pike, and I look at the corruption, the perversion, and what they've taken with the Word of God that came through these men and what the people have done with it. When a message person, we saw it myself, Brother Jonathan and myself, right over here in Randleman, and this is a man that if I called his name, that most everybody in here would know this man by name and know who he is. And we got friends that are in his church. And he says, you know, I'll take my King James Bible and I'll throw it away before I would put Brother William Branham's words above it. Now you say, you need to be careful, Brother Rob, because that was a prophet of God and that is the Word. And I agree with that. The things that came by the anointing, by that were God-breathed of the Holy Ghost, I say yea and amen. But when you've got that, you would never throw the Word of God away. You understand? That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not lessening that word. Amen. When it comes forth by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it's the Word of God. Brother Pike walked in and his printing presses were running and there was a jam up and the tracks were flying out and it was all over the floor and we're scrambling trying to get the thing fixed. And he come in and he was grieved. He said, Brethren, you're trampling the Word of God under your feet. Now why would he say that? Oh, that's just a track, Brother George. That's the Word of God. He was a man of God. He knew what he was saying. You see, when it's God-breathed, when it comes from an unction of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, it's the Word, and it brings life. Amen? Oh, but this word over here, you know, it was by Luke, or this one over here was, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, and he wrote this, or this was over here, John the Revelator. It was God-breathed, brother, and that's what the thing is, was God-breathed. It was from the Holy Ghost. So when I speak about Brother Branham's word, I say the Holy Ghost. When I speak about Brother Pike's word, I say the Holy Ghost. You understand? They took time to put it down. But what I'm saying is these people are taking it and they've perverted it in such a way. They've taken the serpent seed message and perverted it in such a way that people want to run from the message. They've taken the things that Brother Pike taught and they've perverted it. They're saying, look, I'm born of God and I can't sin. Yes, that's Bible. But you know, I know men that were whoremongers and busted up homes and families and took other men's wives. Saying, if you come to the revelation that Brother George taught, you know it wasn't sin to him and you wouldn't have separated from him or you wouldn't be grieved with him. That is doctrines of devils. I'm sorry. They've taken a real word of God and perverted it to their fleshly lust. We don't take the word to the occasion of the flesh. And when you're taking and utilizing fleshly pleasures with other men's wives, you can't take the word of God, the spirit of the word, and call that no sin. It is sin. I don't care what anybody says. It's sin. And you can say, I'm born of God and I can't sin. And I said, no, you're a liar and you're deceived because you are sin. You understand that? You got to rend the veil between the birth of the first man and the birth of the second. You got to rend the veil of that. And when you call yourself born of God and not sinning, that's because that man's dead. But a dead man isn't laying with the neighbor's wife. Do you understand that? And when he's resurrected himself and he's over there with the neighbor's wife and he's out drinking and doping and partying and doing those things, he's not dead. He's alive. And he is walking twice dead and he's plucked up by the roots is what it truly is. Who are you talking talking about. I'm talking about anybody that's preaching a doctrine that they can't sin and they're living in the lasciviousness of flesh. Amen. And when you preach a doctrine that you're born of God and can't sin, that's because you're walking in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, and you've got all things put under your feet, and you put your foot on top of the scorpions and the serpents, and you're walking on, you're walking in the victory and in the power and in a sound mind. Amen. Because you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've been set apart, and you've been anointed, and you lost the things. So with this brother here, we see he no longer had fear. He no longer was denying the Lord. He stood up and he said, "This Lord in whom you crucified, and I stand before the same adversary and the same enemy that crucified our Lord. They crucified me. They crucified you in a daily perspective. And we stand before them same devils and say, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who I am filled with and have been endued with power, the power to endure all the way to the end." That's what your Holy Ghost is an evidence. You want an evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost? You're going to see endurance. You're going to see power. You're going to see a conversation of godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness. Amen. And when you yield to your flesh and it rises up, you'll find the chastening power of the Holy Ghost coming your way. And he's going to bring a rod of correction to you. Amen. The rod's for the fool's back. Amen. You ever been one of them before? Amen. I have. Hallelujah. I know we get too religious and too righteous to ever think that God would chasten us. Amen. But I thank God for the chastening of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the fire that burns the dross of carnality and burns the unpleasing things of God out, that gets you out of the way, gets me out of the way, that we don't hinder the move of God or the Spirit of the Word. But what we do is we get a little touch from God, we get a little dream, we get a little vision, we get a little goosebump or whatever, get a little experience, and then we want to incorporate our carnal mind, our ways, our means, our life into that, for we could be somebody and be recognized. God don't want you recognized. If you would bring all the glory, all the honor to him, then he's recognized and it draws men unto him. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Let me go on just for a moment here. We won't keep you much longer. Amen. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. You see what boldness of the Holy Ghost does? Walking in the authority and the power without the fear of what people are and what they think. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. You see how they departed and gave it to all men? They didn't sell all they had and give it to the preacher, did they? Oh, that's a real popular doctrine nowadays, isn't it? Man, you need to sell everything you got and give it to the preacher. Oh, God have mercy. Amen. Boy, if you would just sow over here, man, and God could bless that seed. Hey, I believe that, brother. And I'm not mocking that, but let me tell you something. When you hear that continually, and that's what their whole message is about, and that's all it's about, you see, there's a truth. The devil comes with a truth. These preachers will have a truth. Boy, if you would sow over here, God will bless you. He will bless you. You sow over here, he will bless you. We ain't even taking up an offering, man. What's wrong with you guys? I ain't planning on it. But I'm talking about the principles of God. That's what I'm speaking about. And we have to bring that word. That's the truth, but they take the truth and pervert it for their own gains, their own lust, and their own perversions. Let's finish out this and we'll close the service. Verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." I like that, singleness of heart. Are we there, brethren? "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Amen. I appreciate you letting me take time to go through this. So we got a little history lesson on the early church, you say. No, that wasn't my purpose tonight. My purpose tonight isn't to give you a historical lesson of the early church. The thing is the purpose tonight is we are the church, and we are the recipients to a Spirit-filled life. And we are responsible to walk in the same power, the same anointing, and the same Spirit, that we could see an increase added to the house of God, added to the kingdom of God. You see, brethren, there's people that you come in contact with every day. You're on jobs with people that the preacher don't get to see. He don't get to talk to them. You understand that? And the thing is that when you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and been filled and anointed with the Spirit of God, you're going to be speaking the Word. You understand that? The Word of God is going to be coming forth in you. Well, it might get me fired. You know what, brethren? I say use wisdom. I'm not telling you to go in people's homes and beat their doors down. That's their little kingdom. And you go in there and start rebuking people about their pictures on their walls or about their lifestyles. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being filled with the Holy Ghost with the wisdom to win souls. You can talk to people about the Word of God and the mind of God and the things of God and the provisions of God. Even in their homes when you see that they're far from it. You could sit with people that are wretched and you could bring the gospel of Christ to them. The responsibility is yours. There's people perishing. People you loved are dying and going to hell. And we got to realize that we have this same infilled power of the Holy Ghost. If you're questioning that, then I invite you into the altars this evening and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost and with the Spirit of God. Man, I've been in some Pentecostal services, Brother Rob. I have too. I've been in many of them, brother, and you're in one now. But I'm not talking about, you know, we can get exuberant. I like that. We've been in camp meetings. Everybody's shouting and screaming. We leave with no voice. Yes, I like those kind of meetings too, brethren. But sometimes we got to get down to sobriety and soberness of mind and get away from the fluff of it, so to speak, and get down to the reality of it. The old saying, they say, down where the rubber meets the road at. You know, and a lot of times people, they come in and this is the relationship as the marriage relationship, not to unveil to keep things understood, but a marriage relationship. A man and his wife, they can have the marriage relationship. It's undefiled in all of its ways. And there's exuberance. There's excitement and thrill in it. And that's all some have. They never bring forth a child. But it's the relationship, the relationship. Well, that's what church is. It's the relationship. You know, we can get excited. Boy, we had church, man, praise God. We get the goosebumps. We shout, man, this is good. But somewhere there's got to be a child reared up. Somewhere in the relationship, there's got to bring forth a child. And sometimes we find that people are barren. They're not bringing forth the fruit of the womb, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not coming forth. And then what they need to do is they need to be in that same travail as we go into the Old Testament and we find like Rachel and we find that these women that wanted to have a child and they would travail and they would pray and plead with God. We got to be that way. If we're not bringing forth the fruit of Christ in our life, we need to be before the God and saying, I want this fruit. I want this life. I want this birth. And got to bring it forth. See, we're removing it from ritualistics now. We're removing it from religious. We're removing it from church going. Church going isn't the answer. But when you find the answer, you'll be a church goer. You understand that? Amen. But going to church doesn't bring the answer. You find the answer and it brings you to church. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God, brothers and sisters, it's going to make you obedient to the house of God. But just being obedient to the house of God, you're just going to be dry and dead. And you just don't have a desire to really go back. But when you get filled with the Spirit of God and with the Holy Ghost, you have a desire, an unction, a drawing for the Word. And you're exuberant to come to the house of God. If I said the most natural men, and we've been laboring and we've been working or been, you know, we haven't been to the restaurant for a while, I say, come on, man, let's go get the burger. Come on, let's go get the steak. Man, I'm ready to go. Man, let's do it. Man, it sounds good to me. And ready to roll. But see, that's the way we are when we're hungering for the Word of God. We want to be in the house of God. We want to be with the brethren and eat with them. Well, I had Chinese food last night. You're going there again? Hey, you know what? It's not just to be there at the Chinese, right? I'm for the fellowship. Amen. You understand that? And we come together. Well, I'm not being fed. Why? I'm pretty fat. Well, you got to prepare something special for me. I know I'm trying to get the insulin out for you. You're too sweet and sugared up. A little spiritual insulin shot and get you straightened out. I checked your blood sugar, man, and it was way too high. Help me, Jesus. Y'all love the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. I appreciate you. I trust and pray that you've sought after the infilling of God's Spirit. I trust that you removed it from the religious veil. And from the Pentecostal air and the Pentecostal way, not speaking against Pentecost, not speaking of the day of the Lord, but I mean, we got to get beyond the tongue talking and get down to the power. We got to get beyond the ritualistics of the confession with our mouth, but we got to get that believing down in our heart and walking in demonstration of the Spirit of God. You know, the world is tired of religion and they're sick and tired of it. I get up here as a pastor and I express that I'm tired of it. So how much more so are they tired of it? Let's get real. Let's get real and walk in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus one more hand before we sing. Thank you, Lord God. Brother Pike once made a statement. He said, I don't want to just be full of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I had been back in 1919. I got baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I say, you poor ignorant devil, what you done since then? You know, and I'm not mocking that, brother. I know it sounds like I am, and truly I am. Okay, I'll admit it. All right, so I'm gonna confess. But you know what? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, it's a daily thing. Not a daily thing. Let me rephrase that. It is a moment by moment thing. I mean to tell you, he's speaking to you, he's talking with you. And you say, I just don't understand. This Bible says, pray without ceasing. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll understand it. Because there's something in your spirit that's communing with the Lord all the time, supping with Him, eating with Him. And you might be with a brother, you might be with a friend, and you might be in a conversation, and that Spirit of God is sitting there fellowshipping and speaking to you and saying, well, no, that's not exactly right. That's not exactly accurate. This is really what it is. And while one person's sitting there speaking, he's speaking, saying, well, this is really. And then you're trying to change the conversation. Around, we're talking about being spirit-filled, amen. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you asked God to grant discernment unto you? The Bible said these things must be spiritually discerned. Oh, I got discernment, Brother Rob. Well, I pray and hope and trust that you do, amen. When you really get it, you might get rid of the gift of suspicion, as Brother Pike used to call it. And we all been guilty of that. Well, I perceive this brother by his countenance today, by this frown on his face, or by the way he's walking, he's just having a bad day. That's not discernment, brothers and sisters. That is an intellectual way of perceiving the condition of that moment of a man. Amen. But discernment will go beyond the veil of the joy. It'll go beyond the veil of the sadness. It'll go beyond the veil of the exuberance. And it'll say, this is just fictitious. There's no strength, no anointing, no power there. People say, man, praise God, hallelujah. And it's dead, no strength whatsoever. And another one says, man, glory be to God, hallelujah. And you feel the urge or the unction of the Holy Ghost that breaks the yoke of bondage, amen. And people get set free. Let's walk in the Spirit of God. Let's sing a song or two, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart.
We love you, Lord Jesus. That's my desire. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it makes you holy. Hallelujah. He purges and cleanses, fills, satisfies. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus.
And renew our spirit within.
So Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Are there any others who would like to come in the altars? Amen. Would you like to just come in the altars and fellowship with the Spirit of the living God? Say, oh, Lord God, fill me tonight. Let my cup overrun. Let me be filled, overflowing tonight with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I love you and praise you. I thank you for the things of yesterday, but I want the power of today. I want the anointing today. I want the spirit of life today. I want the peace that surpasses all understanding today. Amen. Hallelujah. Fill me, Lord God. Let my cup overrun. Hallelujah. Let the joy unspeakable and full of glory fill my soul tonight. Let me have the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God, and worship you. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God. I feel the power of God. I feel the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel the healing virtue of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Brother Ed, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost that opens up airways and lungs. Amen. Hallelujah. Just say it's mine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let me be a light. Hallelujah. Let me eradicate darkness, Almighty God. Let me bring joy of salvation to them that are down and beaten down. The downtrodden, let me bring deliverance. Oh God, let me walk in the counsel of the living God. Let me walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you love the Lord tonight? Somebody say, I love you, Lord God. You're my Lord, my God. Hallelujah.
Restore.
joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing greater than standing in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You're standing in holy ground tonight. Amen. You entered into a little nothing church over here, maybe in North Carolina, but you're standing in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, well, what are you trying to say, brother? I say what my Bible says, amen. It says when two or three come together in His name that He's in the midst, amen. And I believe the Word of God. You say, well, I don't see Him. I do, amen. I'm looking at His many-membered body, amen. The Bible said that there's many sick and afflicted among you because they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. And we come in the presence of the Lord Himself, Jesus, and we don't discern His body, and we bring afflictions and complications to us, amen. And you say, well, you speak like we're not the righteous. And He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen. So I'm talking to the righteous people. Amen. The ones filled with the righteousness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They walk in problems and complications. Amen. They have infirmities and afflictions. Amen. I know when we talk about this great man, the Apostle Paul, he had afflictions, didn't he? Amen. He besought the Lord. Amen. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And you say, oh, Lord God, I got problems. Oh, Lord God, I have this. He says, yeah, my grace is sufficient. Walk in the power of God. Walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't let that thing hinder you. Don't let it get in your way. Don't let it slow you down. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing another song. Amen. You say, I thought we was closing. We're just following the leading of the Lord. Amen. This might be your night to get filled with the Holy Ghost. This might be your night to find that Spirit of God come down in you and start filling you up from that innermost being. Like that river of living water starts rising up. You can't contain it no more. You say, oh my God, my Lord, my Savior, my salvation. I love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. When was the last time you told Jesus that you loved Him? Come on, saints, when was it? Amen. I hope it wasn't more than a minute ago. Amen. There should be something to say, I love you, Lord God. I love you, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my Savior. You're my salvation. You're my everything. I can't do anything without you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you ain't got what I'm talking about, amen, it's for you tonight. Hallelujah. It's here. It's alive. It's well. Hallelujah. Say, Lord God, fill me, touch me, enlighten me. Hallelujah. There's no other name, brothers and sisters. That's the name that brings salvation and strength. Hallelujah. And power. That's the name that makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Hallelujah. That's the name that brings salvation to the lost and brings hope to the hopeless, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and strength to the weak. Fall in love with that name, Jesus, because there is no other name. Jesus is our Lord, our God. There is no other beside Him. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's Jesus, amen. He's our Lord and God. He's our salvation. He's our Savior. He's the way. There is no other way. It don't matter what Larry King thinks. It don't matter what Joel Osteen thinks. It don't matter what any of them think or Oprah Winfrey. You know what matters is the Word of God, amen. And it's Jesus, amen. I'm not ashamed of that name. I'll stand up in the synagogues. I'll stand up in the Muslim places or wherever. And I'll say it's Jesus and it's Him alone. Amen. I'm not going to bell that name for popularity. I'm not going to say, well, there's another way for everybody who'll like me. It's the only way. Amen. There's no need to look for any other because there is no other. Amen. It's Jesus and Him alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's like a refreshing rain. It brings strength. Hallelujah. Fall in love with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. We're going to close the service this evening, brothers. I appreciate you coming into the altars this evening. Let's take the name of Jesus with us. Let's take the anointing of the Holy Ghost with us. Let's walk in the demonstration and the power. Let's ask God. I remember one morning I was leaving and I said, Lord God, I want you to lead me to where you would have me to be. He might take you off of the beaten path. He might alter your course the way you go to work every day. He might ask you to stop at a place that maybe you never frequent and walk in the door to. But I said, Lord, I want you to use me. I sat down at a table and the Lord spoke to me. He asked me to look over to this table and I looked over there. And he said, I want you to speak to that man about me. That man thought he was just going to some restaurant for lunch. And I went to him. And I spoke very clearly. I said, sir, I said, I know you don't know me and I don't know you. But I said, the Lord told me to come over here and speak to you about the Lord Jesus. And the man sat there and fought to break down and start crying. People don't like to cry in public. And I saw him, I started fellowshipping him and talking with him. Amen. You know, am I testifying something that happened months ago, years ago, decades ago? See, this is something that we should be sensitive about today, tomorrow. You know, it might be somebody. We can't shove Jesus down people's throat. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes it's just a matter of mentioning his name. Sometimes we say, well, God bless you, sir. Thank you to the cashiers we're checking out. Well, that's good. You know, there's a lot of reprobates that do the same, but I think that's good. You could say, God bless you. But sometimes you could say it and there'd be an unction with it, an anointing with it when you're spirit filled and they'll know. Sometimes it could be the simple act of saying, Jesus loves you. Seen a heathen the other day, and I said, you look like a preacher. He didn't, by your mind, or my mind, didn't look like one, did he? All covered up, full tattooed up, and hair growed out long, and rings on every finger and all that. He didn't look like no preacher. But I said, you look like a preacher. Man had been out in the world, been drawn by the world, and just lost his whole life to the world and the pleasures of the world. That's when a guy will reach down and pull him out. Amen. And clean him up. And nobody, that's a worthless, no good scumbag. That's the officer of there. That's who God's looking Amen. For. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You understand that? That's who he's looking for. I preach against them tattoos and all that stuff, but when they got them out there in the world, they've been marked up and we'll steal them away. Pull them out of the pits of hell.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll cover them up the best we can. Amen. Get them some clothes on. Cover a bunch of filth up. Amen. Sons of God don't get tattoos when they're born again.
Amen.
You might have got a tattoo when you were a servant of the devil. Well, let me tell you, when you get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't standing no line, no tattoo parlor. It ain't going to happen, amen. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, ladies, you ain't going to be showing them thighs and bearing them legs. You ain't going to be painting up them faces like some Jezebel streetwalking woman. Why you say all that stuff, Brother Rob? I'm just trying to help you know when you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm just talking about the fruit of the Spirit is all I'm talking about. They keep watering it down in this present day and hour. I heard a rebuke from a man preaching the gospel about the Assemblies of God. He said, you Assembly of God preachers. He said, I look at your wives wearing their rings and putting on their makeup and wearing this jewelry and stuff. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. God, what would he say today when they got their shorts on?
Mm-hmm.
What would he say about that?
Right.
Well, I just, you know, don't think it has anything to do with anything. And then you tell me what the infilling of the Holy Ghost is for. He says, present your body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
So you can tell me what you think being holy in the spirit is. Okay, and we'll come to agreement. Now you tell me what being holy in the soul is. And then you tell me what being holy in the body is. Let me tell you, being holy in the body is going to come up in everything and expression about you. Like I said, you might dress right, but your deeds are awful at work. Yeah, it ain't holiness.
That's right.
Holiness is not looking for what's good for him. He's looking what's good for his customer.
Amen.
And then he finds God compensating him through the customers.
Sure does.
And he'll bless you big time.
Oh, yeah.
When you got a contractor that's always looking for what's good for him, he ain't walking in the Holy Ghost. You do what's good for them, and God will bless it. You think, I didn't do well on that job. Well, he'll bless you twice as well on the next one. You just Amen. Keep trusting him. He'll do
that's
it.
Right.
I've watched him do it. But you get crossed up because you think somebody's doing you wrong. You suffer the wrong and say, hey, I love you. Amen. You say, well, I think you're crazy. Well, you take that up with him. One guy told me I was nuts once. I said, I'm screwed on the right bolt.
Amen.
Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Brother Bob will get you to dismiss us this evening. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's take this message to heart. Let's don't talk about the experience we had last camp meeting or 50 years ago. Let's take this to heart. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost every day. We need to be crucified every day. We need to resurrect every day. We need to walk in the demonstration of power of God every day. And we need to bring forth and yield forth the fruit of a spirit-filled life. Let's give Jesus one more hand. Amen. I love y'all. Appreciate you. And God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.